welcome to day 23 of the Jesus Revealed podcast. It is a new week in a sense, if you look at it that way. And I'm your host, Zinhle Mncube. Today, in day 23, we are talking about receiving the kingdom like a child. And I am joined today, again, by Pastor Wasim Forte. Always good and welcome to have you here, Pastor Was.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah,
it's good to have you. So today we'll be talking about receiving the kingdom like a child, and we're looking at Mark chapter 10 from verse 13 to 16 as reference, and Matthew chapter 18 from verse 1 to 6. Now, Pastor Wasim, maybe where we can start, and I think just for the benefit of those that are watching and listening to us, is maybe start with what is the kingdom, and how can we define what the kingdom is?
Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
So I think just to get straight into it,
yeah,
if you had to Google what is a kingdom, the definition that you'd get would literally be, it's a country or a state or territory that is ruled by a king or a queen.
Yeah.
And I think just to put it into context with the scripture reading,
yeah,
and I think this journey, this 40-day journey that we are taking, Jesus comes and essentially he's there to present the kingdom to everybody.
Yeah.
However, he's presenting the kingdom to people that have been oppressed for so many years.
Okay.
So we see historically that the Roman Empire came and took over Israel.
Yeah.
Right back in, I think it could have been 63 BC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was a good time before Jesus was even born.
Yeah.
And if you read, you know, historically, even after Jesus died, they still ruled,
yeah,
you know, within Israel. So you can imagine what people's views were like on what a kingdom was.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
think you see this when many people end up questioning Jesus and they ask him, but you hear now, you're saying you are the chosen one, but why is it that you haven't overthrown these guys yet?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's all that they were used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think some things that could have definitely affected people's mindsets back then is when the Roman Empire took over, one of the things that they ended up introducing was the crucifix, right? Crucifying people.
Yeah, yeah.
We know that Jesus passed away in this manner. I can't say unfortunately. But what they did to instill fear in people yeah. was they'd find spaces, you know, central locations. And they'd literally, if you did not agree with them, number one, or if you went against some of the decisions that yeah, they wanted yeah. to make, they would literally crucify you in front of people, and you can imagine the fear
yeah.
you know that caused.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the other things that happened back in those days was there was always soldiers patrolling the streets, right? So this was the type of kingdom that they are now showing these people, right?
Yeah.
The Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. Now, Z, can you imagine coming out of your home every day and knowing that there could potentially be policemen,
sure.
and not just any policeman, corrupt policemen. Mm. You don't know what type of day you're going to get that specific person on.
Yeah, true.
That person could be having a bad day and ask you to do something completely crazy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you'd have yeah. to do it. Some of the other things that they did back then, which also shaped the way that God's people saw kingdom was, they also used to, the entertainment was a bit loud. So similar to how we see in movies, right? Similar to in yeah. Gladiator,
yeah.
where people
yeah.
come together, they fight, but there's large crowds of people
so
all
it's a,
cheering.
Like a theater of sorts. Yeah.
Similar to
yeah.
a theater, yeah. yeah, right? So imagine you in bed, you are emotionally drained, and now at night people are still cheering and screaming
yeah.
like this. And one of the final things that I read up on was there was a specific time when the Romans went and made sacrifices outside of the, you know, the church of at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So literally outside of where the Israelites would go and offer sacrifices unto God, they came and they showed them that they were going to do it there. And apparently it caused such a massive uprising.
Wow.
So I thought it was very, you know, important just to say what a kingdom was
yeah.
and just how, what God's people's mindsets was like, you know, mm-hmm. around the kingdom and their thinking around the kingdom.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. And I think then in that context that you're laying then, it becomes maybe in the minds of the Israelites of that time, because look, looking at when the Roman rule starts, it's likely then that a majority of the Israelites at that time were born into that oppressive regime. Yeah. So their concept of what a kingdom is one of oppression and tyranny. True. So then when Jesus maybe presents the kingdom of heaven, then we can make that argument that maybe partially that's the reason why it was met with either hostility or it was met with the expectation that it would lead to the overthrowing of the Roman Empire.
100%. You hit it on the head. And I just think how many people were disappointed back then.
Yeah. So now that we've laid that foundation, Pastor Wass, I just want to then, in just looking at this passage, what is the kingdom of heaven then? Yeah.
Sure. So I think essentially the kingdom of heaven is literally Jesus coming to redeem his people.
Yeah.
If I had to give a straightforward answer, that would be it.
Mm.
And there's many scriptural references for this throughout the Bible, but there's one specifically I'd like to focus on, and that can be found in Matthew 13, right? From verse 44 up until verse 47. So in this chapter, we see Jesus referencing specific parables, and he likens the kingdom to these specific things that he's talking about. But what I love about this is there's parables that he speaks of before this. There's about three parables. And if you go read those parables, I won't read them now, they speak specifically to corruption within the kingdom. And how I understood this was Jesus opens with those three because he's speaking to corruption, and he's trying to draw a comparison to what the Romans might be doing, right? Yes, we know the Roman Empire is wrong, but he's here now. He's presenting himself as the kingdom, essentially. People are expecting him to overthrow, right, as I mentioned. But now he's coming and he's saying, but these are things that are also bad within this my kingdom. And then he comes to this fourth parable now. And these parables, the next three that we're about to read, speak specifically to value, but value on people.
Yeah.
So the first parable, we find it in Matthew 13, verse 44 that I'm going to read. The first parable that I'm going to read, let me be specific. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he had, and then he buys that field." So there's three points I think that's very important. The first one is the man found a treasure. He covered it up. The second point is he then went and he sold everything. The third point is that he came back and he literally bought the entire field. So just to give some context, back then when this was written, the law stated, if I worked for you and I found a treasure in your field, Z, I dig it up. If I pull it out the ground completely, it means that it belongs to you.
Okay.
But if I pull it out halfway and put it back, and leave and go purchase the field and come back, essentially the treasure is mine. Again, tying back to this point that Jesus couldn't just overthrow. He first came, right? The person we're referencing here is Jesus. He saw the treasure, which was all of us. He couldn't just pluck it out immediately. So he then goes, he lays down his life. And once he's laid down his life, he comes and he purchases the entire field.
So it
speaks beautifully to what the kingdom is. The second one is, we read in verse 45, it's the parable of the pearl. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and he bought it." Again, if we had to sit, I know that we'd never be able to quantify all the wealth and everything that's of value within this world. The reason why I'm saying that is Jesus found this pearl. He went and he sold everything that he had, being his life, right? So if we had to say, let's say it's a trillion rand, if we had to quantify everything, not even that would be enough to put a value on Jesus' life. But then he goes, he still sells his life, or he gives it up, and then he comes and he purchases our lives. You know, which in the grander scheme of things, yes, has value, but if you really think about it, we all sinners.
In context to,
And then the final one in verse 47, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into the containers, but threw away the bad."
Yeah.
"It will be at the end of the..." This is how it will be at the end of the age. "The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into a fiery furnace." Now, it's interesting that he quotes this.
Yeah.
And I think it's to show us that, number one, yes, there can be corruption.
Yes.
We've seen corruption with the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
But I'm here, and I'm here to show you the value that you actually have.
Yeah.
And even though I'm showing you the value that you actually have, it doesn't mean that there won't be any opposition.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that everyone will accept this. But when you do come across things like corruption within the kingdom, when you do come across other forces and people, and sometimes ourselves, that do oppose the kingdom, we always need to come back to the value of it. What was the value, you know, that God actually put on all of this?
Yeah.
But to sum it up, the kingdom is Jesus laying down his life for all of us.
Sure. That's really a wonderful perspective, Pastor Was, and thank you for bringing that. And funny enough, those parables actually will be discussed in later podcasts. So you've actually laid a great foundation, and I just pray that to those that are listening, actually do stay the course to day 28, where we actually do unpack this.
Sure.
So thank you so much for that. So I then want to, now that we have established what the kingdom is, now that we have seen in how you've laid it out, the value and what it actually is, in, as you have said so well, it is Christ's redemption of his people, or even the groom coming for the bride, which is us. How then do we receive the kingdom?
I think to get straight to it, the first one would be accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
But just to tie it back to our main scripture verse of Matthew 18, I find it very interesting, because Jesus comes and he's speaking to his disciples.
And
if I understand the previous verses correctly, they're arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And instead of saying to them, "Follow my example," he brings a picture of a child in.
Yeah.
Right? When I come home sometimes, and so last week, Friday, I had the opportunity to work from home.
Yeah.
And as I was sleeping in her cot in the lounge, and at about past 11 in the morning, she starts crying.
Okay.
So I went and I picked her up. And the minute she saw me, she stopped crying.
Okay.
Right now, myself and Saz has this joke. Every time she sees us when we come home from work, she's so overjoyed. And we always say to her, "We don't know why you love us so much, but we're happy that you love us like this."
Yeah.
And when I see how she interacts with us, when I see this joy, and not just the joy, if we had to just walk out the room for a minute, she cries, right? But if I had to walk across the room to the other side of the bed, she'll stop doing what she's doing. She'll look up and she sees that we're still there. She continues doing what she does.
And
I think to myself, is this what it must feel like to long for the presence of God?
Hmm.
Where, yes, we accept Jesus, but then the kingdom is about relationship and having that presence. And if Ezra does not want me to leave the room, even if I'm not playing with her, she just wants me to be there.
Yeah.
I'm sure God wants that same type of relationship with us. So my second point would definitely be to long after God's presence.
Yeah, that's good.
We all go to work. We cannot pray 24/7, but we can have a longing and a knowing that God is here and he's with us. And I think my final point would definitely be trusting in him. And again, I use the example with Ezra. When she's hungry, she cries instantly.
Yeah.
There's no build-up, nothing. She just cries, you know, okay, she's probably hungry now.
Yeah.
She also knows she's crying to let us know that she's hungry.
Yeah.
But 8 months into her life, she knows we're going to feed her.
Yeah.
Right? As
yeah.
much as she cries, she must know because of habit and routine.
Yeah.
And I think similar to us, we have to get to a point where we just trust him.
Yeah.
Yes, things might go wrong, But there's this instinct then to say that, you know what, God actually did it before.
Indeed.
He can definitely do it again. Indeed. So those would be my 3 points on how we receive the kingdom. Accepting Jesus, longing for his presence, and then trusting in him.
Yeah. And sure, that's really beautiful, Pastor Wass. And I'm even just reflecting on it. And even to us that have already, in a sense, received the kingdom through salvation, the two of longing and trusting are a work that we'll probably do all the way up until Christ comes back. Because, sure, I'm just thinking about it. Even with these 40 days of our fasting, and we're in day 23 now, where it really, the crux of fasting, and it's something that I read, it's almost like a longing for home. So it's a longing for home in a sense, sure, because we're almost like pilgrims going to the kingdom, going or longing for home. And here's the kingdom of heaven, and here is us then longing to be with the Father again. And what you're saying with baby Azza as well, it's truly, truly a perfect description of what it is. And I just pray that even beyond the 40 days, that longing and trusting just remains. Yeah,
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. No, Pastor Wass, maybe let's put a pin on it now, because I think we possibly can carry on as for the last time. So I think let's just try to be disciplined. But this was such a blessing for me, Pastor Wass, and thank you so much, and God bless you for your time. Thank you so much, and to everyone that was listening. As always, I really do pray that this was a blessing to you, as it has been for me, and I just pray that as we and I think. I think a good chunk of this week or this next 7 days, what we will see is really just looking at the concepts of the kingdom and how that can be exalted and treasured on our side, because it came to us with a price, as has been explained today. So I pray that you are blessed, and I pray that with this again, Jesus is revealed evermore in your lives. God bless you.